This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's first become quiet. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you for who you are. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And today, we take some time and we come to you and we praise your name. But Father, it should be that we should be praising your name each and every day, each and every minute. When we've got a Holy Spirit in us, Father, then we are living it out, having a relationship with you. And we thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. That we can sing out of our hearts, we praise you. It's not a song which we learn somewhere. It's coming out of our hearts. We praise you for who you are, God. We praise you for who you are. Along with all the other believers, along with the elders, we sing, we praise you. We glorify your name, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome. Welcome at the celebration service of Shofar Utrecht. Today, on the 7th of August 2022, we are 7 years old, and it's an awesome achievement, and I'm glad about it. But today, it's not about the seven, because yes, the Bible is full of sevens. I tried to do a little bit of a count. I didn't at all count them. I quickly went to Gate Bible, and then I had a look, and it says that there are anything like 522 times that refers to seven in the Old Testament, and something like 81 times in the New Testament. And then the one who's referring most of the time is John. In Revelations, we've got a majority of references to the number seven. And in John itself, seven times, Jesus says, I am. There we see the seven as well. God created heaven and earth in 7 days. It's perfect. It's such a perfect number, the seven. And we can celebrate 7 years on the 7th of August. We didn't plan it 7 years back, me and Renee. It is working out like that. And it's awesome. Because today we can celebrate. We can celebrate the 7 years. But it's not about the years. It's about who we are, that we know who we are. Like we were singing just now as well, praising. We praise God because we know that we are a child of God through Jesus Christ. And we also know where we're going to. That's the promise what God has given us. If you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to be in heaven forever and ever. And that is why we are celebrating. And this is why we are having joy today. And this is why we are getting together. And this is why we're getting together each and every day, each and every Sunday, to celebrate that relationship with God, to strengthen each other. At the top behind me, you see a cross. And there we can see the long one is the vertical one. That is the one, the relationship between us and God. That is the most important one. The horizontal one is the relationship with the people around us. And there we can see we've got to strengthen us again each and every Sunday on that vertical one. That we can go out on a Monday and that we can work on the horizontal one. The title for today is Rejoice. You were born for such a time like this. And I got this earlier this week, and when Wilhelm was sending the songs and I saw the first song, Rejoice, I thought, okay, thank you, Lord, you've been speaking. And that's awesome to get such a type of confirmation that God has got a plan, but we have got to go to God and we've got to spend time with him, and then he will reveal it to us. I would like to have a look at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, where Paul is talking about joy and he's talking about rejoice. The letter to the Philippians is many times seen as the letter of joy. And then to imagine that Paul is sitting in prison and he's writing a letter to other people to encourage them. We will most probably, when we are going to be in prison, are going to complain about the food, that we haven't got internet, that we want to have more showers, and all those type of things. But this is not what Paul is busy with. His heart is full of God, and he continuously wants to encourage other people. And he was writing letters over there. And he was encouraging them to grow in a unity, in humility, in joy, and in peace. And he starts over there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And can we see that cross again? What is the most important? Rejoice in the Lord. Vertical one. And then the next verse. Let your gentleness know, be known to all men. The horizontal one, to the other people. There we can see the cross again in these two verses. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6 and 7 are also well known. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Imagine, this is a guy sitting in jail, and he's writing these type of encouragements to other people. It's awesome what he's been doing. He wasn't complaining about his bad situation. But he used the opportunity to speak into other people's lives. And that word rejoice as well, it is a greeting. When you greet somebody, when you meet them, and when you say bye, you say rejoice, rejoice. So it's encouragement. It is telling you, be joyful. Paul knew who he was. And that's why he could write this letter of joy. He knew that he was a child of the Lord, and he knew he was going to. So he wasn't focused or concerned about that. He was writing that encouragement letter to the Philippians. Today we rejoice because Shofar Utrecht is 7 years old. It's also in the same year that Shofar Christian, as a Christian church, as a movement, is 30 years old. And you've seen just now the slide as well that there's going to be a convergence later on this year. But if it's 7 years old, it means that it had to start somewhere because you've got to start counting somewhere. And the church didn't suddenly start on the 3rd of August. That was the first Sunday in 2015. It started early. It was actually birthed between me and Renee and the Lord, if I can put it that way. In 2009, the two of us joined the Shofar Christian Church, and we did the encounters, we did Bible school, we did the ministry training program. And when we were finished with the ministry training program, they called us in and they said, what is God saying to you about Europe? Because they knew that I had a Dutch passport and Renee also had a Dutch passport. And at a certain time, they even said they're more interested in our passports as what they are interested in us. But I think that was more a type of a joke. Well, I hope so. And then Renee knew already that the Lord had spoken to her and called her for the Netherlands. So she knew, okay, she's going to the Netherlands, but she's never shared it with me. And when they asked me, what is God saying to you about Europe? I said, I've got to pray. It sounds very good because I've done the encounters, I've done Bible school, I've done a ministry training program. It's a very godly answer to say, I've got to pray. But this is where I started praying and hearing God's voice. By going into my inner room, close the door, and spend time with God. And when he started speaking, I wrote things down. Renee, on her time, wrote things down. And most of the time, it was on a Saturday morning. And I will grab my journal. Renee would grab her journal. And then the two of us will sit next to each other. And then we look at each other with a smile and we say, what has the Lord been saying to you? And it depended on who was asking whom first. And then we started sharing. And God shared with both of us, we've got to come to Utrecht and start an English-speaking church. Utrecht. Why? I don't know. Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague, they're all bigger. But the Lord said, we've got to come to Utrecht. Why in Utrecht? I don't know. I've got two sisters to the eastern side of the Netherlands. She's got a lot of family in the northern parts of the Netherlands. But the Lord said, Utrecht, that's where you've got to be. We found out afterwards that Utrecht is the spiritual capital of the Netherlands, the heart of the Netherlands. And this is why God, which we feel that God placed us over here. But anyway, we couldn't just, the next day, get on a plane and move. So there was a little bit of planning and a little bit of things which had to be done. And it was in the middle of 2015 that we, moved from South Africa to the Netherlands. And the first picture which you can see is what I would call the Last Supper. It was on Renee's birthday. It was the 7th of the 7th. And we were sitting around a table with family. And then the person who started the Shofar Christian Church, he was also present over there. That was the Last Supper with our family before we were going to plant the church, the two of us. We didn't know anyone over here in Utrecht. It was the two of us. But the Lord has spoken, and if he's got a plan, then do it. So on the 8th of July, that's the next day, we got on a plane. It was a night flight, so we arrived on the 9th of July. And on the 9th of July, we had our local angels waiting for us at Schiphol. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Anya. You helped us tremendously. The reason why I chose this picture, you can see the trailer, the sleepwagen, behind the car. And there are two bicycles on it. The one bicycle is in a box, which we took along when we came from South Africa. And the other bicycle, Robert and Anya brought. But they didn't know about it, that in April before that, the Lord spoke and said, I'm going to give you two bicycles. The week before I left, I went to a medical doctor in the Cape Town area, and he gave his bike, which he bought in the Netherlands. He gave it to me, and he gave me money as well. And he said, that's for covering the cost to take it along. So we had one bike, and then we arrived at Schiphol, and then you see the trailer, and you see the second bike standing on there. That's a confirmation again. If God has got a plan, then he keeps his promise. But we've got to trust him. For me, always a beautiful picture. So we arrived on a Thursday. And the Lord said to us, next week, Wednesday, you start with small group. So we had a look at each other and said, okay, who's going to lead whom? The two of us. But we had one person who visited this picture three. He came. The next week, he took his wife along. So we had a growth of 100% in 1 week, which is awesome. But the important thing is, it's a small group. And what I'm trying to just point out is, it doesn't matter how small the small group is, but you start over there. If God is telling you you've got to do something, then you do it. He will provide. That's why he's God. He can do the things what we cannot do. And then God said, on the first Sunday of August, you're going to start a church. And you're going to have a sermon. So I had to make a sermon. I preached a few times in the Netherlands, of in South Africa. I think it was 6 or 7 times what I've preached over there. So now I had to preach over here, so I had to make a sermon and to prepare. How many people are going to come? We don't know. But the next picture, it shows that there are some people over there. There were some au pairs. The local angels, they were also there. And there was a mission team out of Pretoria who helped us. And we knew a little bit about it, of starting a sermon or things like that, but they really helped us to get the format ready and to start with the church services over there. And the one person which is also on it is Andre. And Andre, at a certain time with his wife Messen, also came and helped us over here. They sold the house, they came over here, they helped us to start the church. and a very huge contribution for us, and they helped us with getting the church established over here. So we were at the Stay OK in Bunnik for 2 Sundays, and that's why you must probably understand now why we always have got our family day at Bunnik, because that's for me the place where Shofar Utrecht has started. That's the place, and that's what I like to go to always, at Bunnik. And then we got a place in town. We rented from the Navigators, the student association. We rented their society, so where they were dancing and drinking beer, with respect, I've got to say that, on a Saturday evening, we were having a sermon on a Sunday afternoon. So we would come, first clean the place, and then we would have a sermon over there on the dancing floor. Sound system was perfect. It was very good. It was one of the best sound systems over there. But they had a beamer over there. They had everything. So it was easy. So we could actually move in and we're over there. And continuously we were praying and asking the Lord, what do you want us to do? Where should we go? So we had a few of those short contracts with them, with the Navigators. And then the Lord said at a certain time, you can look for another place. And I sent one email. And I sent an email to the person, and he's not in that position anymore, but he was responsible for all the PKN churches in Utrecht over here. And I said, is there somewhere, someone who's got a space available, what they want to rent out? And a few days later, I got an email back, an appointment. We had a conversation, me and Renee, with the person over here. I think it was something like half an hour, and he said, you know what? I'm happy. I said, move in, carry on. He's happy with it. It's fine. It works out. So we moved in over here. We were renting then from the PKN, which is the Protestantse Kerk Nederland. We were renting the sound equipment from a student association, which was also renting over here. And we were using the TV from Seven Salen, who was also over here. So we had everything over here. It was divine appointment, what God made for us over here. And that's where we started in 2016 in September, and where we were in the Tuinsaal at the back till December 2019. In January 2020, we moved to the front, and this is where we are over here. We were here in January, and then 3 months later, the corona came, so we had that as well. But we could carry on and be the church what God wanted us to be. It's not only the services on a Sunday what we've been doing. We've been doing other things as well. We've been cycling around Utrecht. That's picture number 8. That's a picture of where we had some people from the apostolic team, which is the governing body of the Shofar Church. They came and visited us, and we got them on the bike. We made some orange balloons, and there we went around Utrecht. And we cycled around Utrecht 7 times. First time, it was on a Friday. It was the two of us. We were sitting at a table. We had Utrecht map on the table. And we said, okay, we're going to cycle around like this. Then I got a phone call. My mom passed away. And then you think, what are you going to do? Are you going to stop? And Renee looked at me and I said, no. I'm not going to stop. If the enemy wants to stop us, he's not going to stop me. We're going to cycle around Utrecht. So we cycled around Utrecht, and a total of 7 times we cycled. I cycled a total of 7 times with different people around Utrecht. The last time that we cycled around Utrecht was the 14th of October 2017. And we made small altars, and it was difficult because we couldn't find any stones over here in and around Utrecht. So you nearly had to bring your own stones. But we made small altars in the south and the north and the east and the west. And we claimed Utrecht for God. And we said, Lord, this is your place. You've set us over here. You've planted us over here. And we want to be obedient to your plan. And on that picture, what you can see on the 9th, there's one person not there. We were 12 adults. And for me, that was symbolic again. 12. The 12 disciples. The 12 tribes. But in that period, in the 7 years, we've done other things as well. We had mission teams visiting us. This is one which was in September 2016. And many times they would come to our house. They would stay over at our house. We would speak to them. Renee would do deliverance with them. And we actually would have a bonding with them. It was each and every mission team that has been here was awesome. We also did other things. The one picture which you can see in picture number 11, I'm pouring salt over there in the source of the Maas River in France. In that same trip, we also went to the source of the Seine River. And I've never seen such a contrast between the two sources of the rivers. The Maas River, it's quiet. It's in the country. There were cows over there. They were coming close and having a look what these mad Dutch people were doing in France over there. Because we worshipped over there. We were pouring salt in the source of the river. It was fine. But when we came to the Seine River, there was not even a bird what we could hear over there. It was totally dead. And there was a chapel with bones which was built on top of the source of the Seine. We see it many times that God is, and Jesus is going up to the mountain, to the source of the water, which is very important. Spiritually, there's a problem in France. Actually, I didn't add it up to the service today, but I just wanted to share it. There's a problem where the water is coming from. And that is causing that problem what they've got in Paris as well. They must go to the source and they must rectify it. But the Maas River is beautiful to go over there. So yes, from the 3rd of August 2015 to the 7th of August 2022, 7 years shofar. And God has got a plan for shofar. He brought us over here. And as much as God has got a plan, we want to be part of his plan. We want to work according to his plan. We don't want to go our own way. Shofar Utrecht, you were planted for a time like this. And there I would like us that we're going to the book of Esther, where Esther and Mordecai were having that conversation with each other. And the book of Esther is actually a beautiful book. It starts with a celebration, and it ends with a celebration. Today, with the first song what we were singing was Rejoice. And we're going to finish with cake and coffee. Afterwards, we're also going to celebrate. Esther is an awesome book, because there are only two books in the Bible which have been named after a woman. It is Esther and Ruth. And Esther is the one where God is showing that the world can make certain decisions, but he's still above that. He can take such a situation and turn it around that his kingdom can be built. Even so, of what happened over there in the time of Esther, that the Jewish people are still having that feast, that Jewish feast of Purim, up to now. I'm going to read out of Esther 4, verses 13 to 17. Then Mordecai told them, because Mordecai and Esther were in communication, but they had a type of a messenger in between. So Mordecai told them, those who have got to bring a message to Esther, told them to return with the answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that you shall escape in a king's palace any more than all other Jews. Because that decree has now been given out that all the Jewish people are going to be killed. And he's saying to her, yes, you are in the palace, and you maybe think I'm going to be covered by that you are in the palace, but you're still a Jewish person. There's still a possibility that somebody can come to you and say, but you're also a Jew, I'm going to kill you. It's not a covering what you've got. And then he carries on. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jewish from elsewhere. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion? And then Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. Go, gather those together, all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. And then I will go to the king, though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and did all that Esther had commanded him. And here we see a beautiful thing. is that Esther and Mordecai, the two of them, have got the same goal, and that is to save the Jewish nation. Esther knows, she's the one who can make a difference. Mordecai cannot just walk in with the king over there. His head will be chopped off. But she, as a queen, has got a certain chance that the king is going to reach out his scepter and say, yes, you can come. And she's prepared to take that risk for the Jewish people of whom she is part. She's running, prepared to run that risk because she says, if I perish, I perish. She was prepared to give her life for the Jewish people. And that for me is so beautiful, that they are working together with a common goal. And that's exactly the same what we want to do at Shofar Utrecht as well, that we've got a common goal, and that's God's kingdom, to bring the gospel to the people, to get the lost in Utrecht, that they can hear the gospel and that they can be added to God's kingdom. And God has got a plan. God had that plan. He placed Esther over there. And Esther could go, and Esther could speak. And then that other decree was given out, and they could be saved. Mordecai said to Esther, you were born for the time like this. And God is saying to us today, Shofar Utrecht, all of you, you were born for a time like this. You were born for a time like this. But what does it actually mean? It means that God has put us at a certain job, at a certain university, at a certain place where you are staying, so that you can be used for God's kingdom. Esther was there so that she couldn't be used. Mordecai couldn't do it. I cannot be at somebody of yours place where you're working. But you're working over there. You can make a difference over there. You were born for a time like this. And he places us at certain places because he knows, and we know, that there's a spiritual warfare. Urbanus was preaching about it last week. It's not something, if we don't see it, that it's not there. For sure it's there. Yesterday, as the intercession team, if I can put it that way, we went to Nijmegen, and then we could pray over there. And we could take authority, what God has given us. And we could go and we could pray, and we could repent of what has been done. We could say to Nijmegen in a spiritual realm, Jesus is king. We could use the authority what we've got. We could bind a strong man. And we could speak life and blessings over Nijmegen. As Esther was the only one who could be used by God to save the Jewish people, you are maybe the only one who can reach the one next to you who is working for you, or who is working with you, who is studying with you. But we've got to find out from God if that is his plan. We've got to find out from him, is this is what you want us? And we can pray for such a person. And if God is saying to us that we've got to do it, then we can do the same as Esther. We can be bold. And we can walk forward and we can say, this is what God is sharing with me. This is what I would like to share with you. We can be busy with a lot of things. We can be busy with our personal kingdom, if I can put it that way. But God wants us that we should be busy with his kingdom, and that we would be focusing on his plan. Because God has got a plan for you, and God has got a plan for me, and God has got a plan for Shofar Utrecht as well. And God has placed us over here to make a difference here in Utrecht. Not to have just a celebration on a Sunday and with some cake and then we go home again. But that we make a difference during the week to whom we speak, what we're doing, and how we're acting with other people. I want to finish off with going back again to Paul, who wrote in what we've read in the beginning, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he also says, be anxious for nothing. And there were four things in there. The first one is unity. Now, we as Shofar Utrecht must have unity. If we haven't got a common goal, then it's difficult. But a common goal is so easy. That's the great commandment of Jesus. It's not, you don't have to talk too much and too long about it. So that's what easy with unity is concerned. But also humility. And humility means nothing of me, nothing of myself, but everything for God. Not our plans, but God's kingdom. Exactly what Esther has been doing. Esther was prepared. She had that position. She was queen. She could have said, sorry, Mordecai, I can't help you. Try somebody else. But she knew. She was in that position. She was born for a time like that. And we must also have joy. Imagine yourself that you're going to get a task and God is your co-worker. Now immediately we think, but how is that possible? It's written in the Bible. God is our co-worker. Co-worker doesn't mean that we are level. Co-worker means that you've got somebody working along with you for the same goal. But that person is God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who is prepared to work with us. But we must be prepared to work with him, and we must be prepared to see that. There's nothing more beautiful than that, to work with God. Because everything what God has done, what he created, what he's given us, the Holy Spirit, is available to us. We can use it, and we can work, and we can use it for bringing the gospel to the other people. And that last thing, what is also giving, what Paul has been writing over there, it gives us peace. And specifically in these circumstances, there are a lot of things which are taking the peace away. It's all about fear. The last 2 years, I think more than enough people have talked about it and spoken about it. There was a lot of fear, and we still don't know where we're actually going to. But God is giving us peace. And then I want to read the last scripture, which is a little bit further in Philippians 14. Of 4, and that is 13. Paul in prison, the statement what he's making there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now we immediately would say, but how can you make such a statement? You're in jail, nothing is possible. But Paul is not looking at his limitations. He's looking at the opportunities. What can he do? And there are such a lot of things what we can do. We've got a lot of reasons that we say, yes, the ground is hard and the people do not want to speak to me and my boss is going to fire me and all those type of things. But take a look at the opportunities. What opportunities is God putting in our hearts that we can put it into practice? Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we've got exactly the same. Christ is also giving us strength. The Holy Spirit is in us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through us that we can make a difference in the area where we are sitting this and where God has placed us. So the message for this afternoon is that God has got a plan for Shofar Utrecht. God has got a plan for you and God has got a plan for me. Because we can do something about God's kingdom. Because we were born for a time like this. And we're not going to look at the limitations, but we should look at the opportunities which God is giving us. Paul is the perfect example over there. Rejoice, because you know your identity, which you've got in Christ. And you know your destiny, that you've got to make a difference in the people around you. And you also know that you're going to be with God in heaven forever and ever, because you were born for a time like this. I'm going to ask you to stand that we can pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're reminding us that we were born for a time like this in our personal situations, but also as Shofar Utrecht. You've placed us here in Utrecht for a time like this. And Father, then we want to actually get excited And we say, Lord, where do you want to use us? What do you want us to do? And that we can start spending time with you, Father. That we can go to the inner room, to our room, and close it up and listen to you, that you're going to speak to us. For whom do we have to pray? What do we have to do? And maybe sometimes we come to in a situation, Lord, that we can come in and we can ask you, do you want us that we should pray for that person? Do you want us that we should pray for healing for that person? And that you're going to give us guidance. Because, Lord, you've placed us in this world for a time like this. Psalm 139 says, it's so beautiful, Lord. You've woven us together in our mother's womb. And we thank you for that. That you are involved at the beginning of our lives. That you want to be continuously involved in our lives. But it is for us that we've got to come to you and seek your presence. Thank you, Father, that we can celebrate today, that we can rejoice, because we've been born for a time like this. Thank you, Father, that as Shofar Utrecht, that we can rejoice for 7 years being over here. We've been placed over here for a time like this. To you all the glory and to you all the honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.